You'll remember last week we saw and read concerning the commission that God gave to Isaiah concerning Israel. And this week we're going to see this commission being beginning his commission, what the Lord wants him to do. This chapter begins the second part of the book of Isaiah, and it includes chapters 7 through 12. Chapters 7 through 12. This chapter is entitled Divine Sign of the Virgin's Wondrous Son. This is the best title that I ran across. Divine Sign of the Virgin's Wondrous Son. We'll give you the divisions of the chapter. Verses 1 and 2 is the Confederacy of Kings. Verses 3 through 9 is the Lord's Counsel to Ahaz. And verses 10 through 17, the Virgin's Son. And 18 through 25 is the prediction of judgment on Judah. Before we begin the chapter, I want us to note something over in the first chapter of Hebrews. This was precious to me when I began studying this today. In Hebrews, the first chapter and the first verse, didn't begin studying it today, but the other day. This first verse, Hebrews 1:1, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. God, this word divers means in many ways that he spoke to the fathers by the prophets, and he spoke plainly to them. Sometimes he spoke by names, by the name that he gave to the children that were born. And to the individual that was open-hearted and wanted to know the things of the Lord would help them to understand the meaning of that name and why he gave them that name. And even the words that we're going to have in this study tonight, they're wonderful truths in this. And to the open-hearted and those who wanted to know the meaning of all of this, God would open the hearts of those who wanted to know back then. He's faithful to do it. So he spoke clearly to the longing of the heart of those who wanted to understand. So we know that many of these Old Testament saints may have had much clearer glimpses of the Lamb of God, of the truth, than some of us have any idea about. We know that some of them are with the Lord already. So these names that we're going to cover in this chapter and throughout the Old Testament, really includes it all, they reveal secrets of truth to the heart that's open. But to the heart that isn't open, they don't understand. It's like Ahaz we're going to have tonight. He doesn't understand even what Isaiah is talking about here, because God's beginning to harden his heart. So I thought that was good. In divers ways, God spoke to these Old Testament saints through the prophets, by a word, by a proper noun. However he did it, he spoke to them. All right. So we begin tonight the commission that God gave to Isaiah, and so we'll read through verses 1 through 9. Glenn, would you excuse me? My eyes are not what they used to be, and I should have gotten in before. Let's read verses 1 through 9. And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. And it was told the house of David, keep that in mind, who God told this to, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim. And his heart was moved, and the heart of his people, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. Then said the Lord unto Isaiah, go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and she are Jashub, thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field, and say unto him, take heed and be quiet. Fear not, neither be faint-hearted, for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, that's what he calls these two kings, for the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria and of the son of Remaliah. Because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, let us go up against Judah and vex it, or torture it. That word vex means torture. And let us make a breach thereof in it for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. And that's interesting what that is in the Hebrew, and we'll get to that. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin, and within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken down, 65 years, that it be not a people. Ahaz had no idea of what he was talking about. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If ye will not believe, talking to Ahaz, surely ye shall not be established, and he means on your throne. Now that, I believe, is all we're going to go tonight, because there's so much in this part. First of all, I'm going to give you the meaning of these names in the first verse. And some of you may have different meanings to the names. Some of the books are different. If you have, why, you can let us know. Ahaz, in Jackson's book, means possessor, and he was a possessor of natural things. Jotham means Jehovah is perfect. He was Uzziah's son. And then Rezin means delightsomeness, concerning the natural. And Pekah means opening. Remaliah means bedecked of Jehovah. And Jerusalem has a wonderful meaning. One of them is whose foundation is peace. I can remember that. But Jackson had dual peace shall be taught. D-U-A-L, peace shall be taught. And it also means lay or set ye double peace. Set ye double peace. And this is what, of course, they want. Okay, let's go over to 2 Kings and read just a little bit about this man Ahaz, 2 Kings 16. We're not going to read the whole chapter. It's the history of his life. He was, he walked very wickedly against the Lord. Let's just read from verse 16 and just a little bit. I'm going to kind of skip around, I believe. He did some terrible things. 2 Kings 16. In the 17th year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, Ahaz, the son of Jotham, king of Judah. Keep in mind, he was king of Judah. Judah was the of the two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, where the Davidic line was established, is in Judah. And they began to reign when he was the son of Joseph, king of Judah, began to reign, the 17th year of Pekah. 20 years old was Ahaz when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord his God, like David his father. But he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, that is the northern tribes. See, the nation was divided. The 10 tribes had rebelled, and they had gone north, and the two tribes were yet in Judah and Benjamin. Yea, but he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, yea, and made his son to pass through the fire, according to the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel. And he sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. I'm not going to read that all, but it's terrible what he did in all of this. He was a very wicked man as far as obeying the Lord. He did not listen to the Lord. So here in our chapter tonight, we see that in him the prediction that Israel, their ears would be made heavy, as the tenth verse of the sixth chapter says. They'd see, but not perceive, and so forth. So this is what Ahaz now is. We have in him what the Lord gave Isaiah to tell. He could not understand any of this. Now these two nations, two enemies of Judah, were going to advance toward Jerusalem, and but they couldn't prevail. It's quite a history, and I didn't go into all of it. It would detract, I think, in a way from what the Lord wants us to understand out of this chapter. It's quite a history. But notice in the second verse, and it was told the house of David. Now I want to keep that in mind, God didn't tell this to Ahaz personally. Ahaz represented the house of David. That's all he did. He represented the house of David. But this was spoken to all the house of David. And this wording here is very important, for when the house of David is touched, it means that Messiah is touched, because of by him, by Christ himself, the sure mercies of David are secured, and this calls for divine intervention. The sure mercies of David are going to be fulfilled, and that's a wonderful subject in itself. But God was going to take care of the house of David, because Christ was going to come from the house of David. So because of this confederacy coming against him, the heart of Ahaz and all of the people were in terror. Notice that in the latter part of the second verse. His heart was moved in the heart of his people as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. They were terror-stricken. They didn't know what to do. But instead of Ahaz turning to the Lord, back in 2 Kings 16 and the 7th verse, which we didn't read, but when you read that, you can see that Ahaz wasn't looking to the Lord for help. He turned, and well, let's read that. Let's notice where he turned, because this is a lesson for all of us when we're in trouble. Where do we turn for help? In the 16th chapter again, and the 7th verse. So Ahaz sent messengers to Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, saying, I am thy servant. Notice he put himself in bondage under Tiglath-Pileser. He said, I am thy servant and thy son. Come up and save me out of the land of the king of Assyria, and out of the hand of the king of Israel, which rise up against me. So see, he didn't look to the Lord for his help, but he looked to this Assyrian leader. All right, so here Isaiah comes upon the scene now, in the third verse. Then said the Lord unto Isaiah, go forth now to meet Ahaz. Now don't get Ahaz mixed up with Ahab. Ahab was a different man. His wife was Jezebel, and he's a type of the Antichrist. Ahaz, he was an ungodly man, we know that, but he was, at first you can kind of get them mixed up because some of these names are so near alike. But he tells the Lord tells Isaiah to go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and Shear Jashub, thy son. Now, Shear Jashub means a remnant shall return. And over in the 8th chapter of Isaiah and the 18th verse, God gave Isaiah two sons, and they were for a reason. 8:18 of Isaiah. He said, behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. Now these truths that are in here just stir my heart. God gave these two sons, and one of them was from a prophetess. They weren't even married, but God gave these sons to Isaiah for signs and for wonders for Israel. So his name means a remnant shall return, and it links right up with that 13th verse of the previous chapter when he says there, it shall be a tenth, and it shall return and shall be eaten. There the remnant is going to return and it's going to be eaten, or it's going to be, well, I forget what we said that word, eaten, but it's going to people are going to be at war with them, and they're going to suffer. This word Shear, the name of this son, Shear means a remnant, and Jashub means and it shall return. That's the Hebrew, so put them together, a remnant and it shall return. I thought of that there in 8:18. These names were given to him for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, or Jehovah Sabaoth, which means the one who fights our battles. And that's what he was going to do. Okay. Go ahead. You want to read it? Schofield notes are good. Okay. I've studied out of it and they are good. Okay. All right. Now, I want us to notice where the Lord tells him to go. And this is really precious. It's rich. Notice where he tells him to go. He's got a reason for this. He says, I want you to go at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field. Now, God defined this spot, and he did it because it's a very important spot. And, well, there's a lot to this. And about 30 years later, the Assyrian stood on this very spot, and he defied Jehovah, and he threatened Jerusalem, and 185,000 of his men were slain in one night. Let's go over to chapter 37, and it tells us this. 37, 36. This would be about 30 years later. But this is just a kind of a sidelight on this. But it's a wonderful sidelight. When we get over here, we'll get into this more. 37, 36. Then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Syrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. I like that phrase. They were dead corpses. I don't know how a corpse can be anything but dead. But anyway, 185, just think, in one night, God defeated this Assyrian army. And this is what God is wanting to tell Ahaz here. All right, let's notice now this this spot where they are to go is divided into two parts. First, they were to go to the end of the conduit of the upper pool. And second, in the highway of the fuller's field. Now, there's some marvelous truths here, and they connect with the rest of the chapter, with the prophecy of the coming of the Messiah. If Ahaz could have understood what Isaiah was telling him, he would have understood the rest of this regarding a virgin shall conceive, because that son that was going to come is described right here in these verses. This is what thrilled my heart. All right. This conduit is the aqueduct, or the reservoir, where it pours its life-giving waters into Jerusalem, bringing them down from the upper pool to quench the thirst of the needy. I'll read that again. The conduit is the aqueduct, or the reservoir, where it pours its life-giving waters into Jerusalem, bringing them down from the upper pool to quench the thirst of the needy. I believe Hezekiah built this. I'm not sure on that. I don't want to get on the natural list. I want to stay on the spiritual side of it. Now, who is this conduit? It's Christ. Christ himself is the conduit, or he's the channel of blessing to man. Now, where do we get the meaning blessing? It's in the word pool. This word pool in the Hebrew is B-E-R-E-K-A-H, and it also means a blessing. That's what we get from Christ, is a blessing. In the book of Nehemiah, let's go over there just a moment. It's right before, well, it's after the Chronicles, and then Ezra, and then Nehemiah. In Nehemiah 2:14, this is called the King's Pool, and it's, this is precious to me. This book of Nehemiah is rich. Nehemiah 2:14, he says, "Then I went on to the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool." Here again, who's the king? It's Christ himself is this king. "But there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass." So this is also called the king's pool. And in the third chapter and the 15th verse of Nehemiah, it's called, it's that which watered the gardens. Notice, and we'll read this. "But the gate of the fountain repaired Shallum, the son of Kol-Hoze, the ruler of part of Mizpah. He built it and covered it, set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, the bars thereof, and the walls, and the pool of Siloah by the king's garden." Now this is Shiloh. Siloah means Shiloh, and that means rest. "And it's by the king's garden, and unto the stairs that go down from the city of David." This pool, again, it speaks of Christ, and Shiloah speaks of Christ. All of this speaks of Christ, and he's the only one that brings blessing to the people, to mankind, whoever. And then it was also called the old pool, at old pool in Isaiah 22:11. I'll just give you these. And in the Strong's Concordance and in Jesenius, they had that it's the place where the camels kneel for a resting place. And I thought, how wonderful. Lord's been speaking about the camels, the trials. Where do we go for a resting place when we're in a trial? It's at this pool. It's at this pool, where at this conduit, where we were refreshed, we're given strength to go on, we're watered, and we can go on. We can go on and overcome. In Psalms 84 and the 6th verse, I really got a lot out of this. Psalms 84 and the 6th verse. Praise the Lord. God wanted this particular spot because it spoke of his son. Praise the Lord. Psalms 84, 6. Later on we'll use the 5th verse, but right now we want this 6th verse. "Who passing through," notice we just passed through the valley of Baca, weeping, "we make it a well," or it means a spring, but the latter part is what we want. "The rain also filleth the pools. Early rain covereth it with blessings." There again we have the blessings. The early rain, which speaks of the Holy Spirit again, and the Word as well, speaks, covereth it with blessings. Praise the Lord. So this is what we receive from the conduit of the upper pool. And notice, it's the upper pool. All of these words have a wonderful meaning. The word upper is from the primary root, meaning to ascend. And it also means an elevation, lofty, as a title, as the Supreme One, or the Most High. Lofty as the Supreme One, the Most High. Primary root meaning to ascend, also means an elevation that is lofty as the Supreme One, the title of the Supreme One, the Most High. Now, spiritual saints discern, and they receive the blessing at this pool of the Most High, at this upper pool. We receive the blessing. But where do we go to get this blessing? We can't just drink out of the reservoir, out of the aqueduct. Notice it's at the end, at the end of the conduit. And praise the Lord for this little word end. It's a word that comes from the primary root, meaning to cut off or to destroy. Now, who was cut off? Let's go over to Isaiah 53 and the 8th verse. It's the only way we can have the blessing. Isaiah 53 and the 8th verse. This is speaking of Jesus himself. Isaiah 53:8. "He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken." Jesus himself was cut off out of the land of the living. And he had to be, or no one can drink of the conduit itself. there must be an end to this place where we can drink. And that's when he was cut off. So in the antitype here, in this end, it's only Jesus' death and his resurrection out of the land of the living that we can participate of this aqueduct or this reservoir. This is how we receive life, the life of Jesus Christ, and it's from on high. It's from the upper pool, not the lower pool. There was a lower pool, but this is from the upper pool. And I thought of that scripture. There's so many you could put down for life that we receive, but I thought of John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed out of death unto life. We have life because we can go to this very spot and we can drink from the end of that conduit. Praise the Lord. We can drink all we want, and we have all the blessings that are there for us. In Ephesians, we read in Ephesians 1 that we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. And that's where the blessings come from. It's from him. All right? Now let's look at the second half of this. It's in the highway of the fuller's field. Notice highway is singular, of the fuller's field. The word highway means to mound up, M-O-U-N-D, to mound up. Figuratively, it means to exalt or cast up, lift up. It means to make plain. And oh, so many scriptures on that make plain. And I want to look at it first. We'll go back to some of this other. But let's go to some of the scriptures on making plain. Let's go to Psalms 27. This walk with the Lord doesn't have to be complicated. Because as we walk in the Spirit, this is what he does. Praise the Lord. It's on a highway, and we'll see in a little bit where that highway is going. It ascends, Psalms 27:11. This is a prayer that dear David had. Teach some of God's people, you know, they don't know the will of the Lord. It's hard for them to find out the will of the Lord. Well, we go to him and we pray, teach me thy way, O Lord. And lead me in a plain path. I like that. Because of mine enemies. This is the highway. This plain path. He leads us in a plain path. And in Proverbs 8 and the 9th verse. And if some of you have some scriptures on this, why, it'd be fine to bring them in. Proverbs 8 and the 9th verse. I believe we'll read the 8th along with it. Proverbs 8, 8 and 9. Praise the Lord. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. This is a personification of wisdom in this chapter. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There's nothing forward or perverse in them. And there isn't in wisdom. That wisdom comes down from above. They are all plain to him that understandeth. Now, who is the him that understandeth? Is this the old creation? No. This is talking to the new creation. The words of the Lord are plain to the new creation because he understands them. And right to them that find knowledge. These Proverbs, I love them. They are so wonderful. Isn't that wonderful? They're plain. And the word does become plain to us as he opens our understanding. Praise the Lord. Then over in the 40th chapter of Isaiah, we have another wonderful verse on this thought of making plain. Isaiah 40 and the 4th verse. Sometimes, well, of course, before we yielded to the Lord, this is the way our path was. It was crooked. But Isaiah 40 and the 4th verse. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Isn't that wonderful? Plain. We have a highway, and it's one of the study books, the study word book said that the stones, and I remember when we were studying about the cities of refuge in Leviticus, that all of the stones were to be picked up on the roads that led to this city of refuge. And this is true in regarding this. This highway, the stones are to be removed, and the Lord is only one who removes them. All right, and another one of the meanings was to raise up. Oh, let's go over to the 49th chapter of Isaiah. We're going to get into this all of this later, but it's wonderful how they just harmonize with what we're having. Isaiah 49:22. This is going to be a wonderful, wonderful day. All of this is future. You know, prophecy has a local fulfillment and it has a future fulfillment. 49:22. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles and set up my standard to the people. Who is the standard? Jesus himself is this standard. And they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. That's going to be a wonderful day. Oh, praise the Lord for this earth. And then in the 62nd chapter, 62 of Isaiah, and the 10th verse. Here again, we have the same truth. 62:10. Go through the gates, and this means to go through and remove all obstacles for spiritual blessing. It's a thought here. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up or lift up the highway. One meaning of this was the turnpike. When they made this turnpike, Brother Romer was the engineer on this turnpike. But you know, they came in and they built up the road. Oh, this is the same thought here. Lift up the highway and gather out the stones. Lift up a standard for the people. Again, this refers us back to the 49th chapter and the 22nd verse. Lift up a standard. He's the highway and he's the standard. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go over to 1 Chronicles 26:16. The word is so wonderful when you get to looking into some of these wonderful meanings. 1 Chronicles 26:16, and it's all Christ. That's what's so wonderful about it. 1 Chronicles 26:16. We'll have some proper nouns here, but we'll pass them and get to what we want. 26:16 of 1 Chronicles. To Shephem and Hosea the son, or the lot, came forth westward, and I really would have loved to gotten into that. With the gate of Shalisheth, but this is part we want, by the causeway of the going up, ward after ward. This causeway here is the causeway of ascent. It goes up to glory. It's a highway that goes up. It doesn't go down, but we're going up. And in the Septuagint, it reads, it's the chamber of the ascent. And I thought of the Song of Solomon right away. The chamber of the ascent. The Lord puts us in a chamber with him, and he takes us up with him, doesn't he? Praise the Lord. So it is a highway, and if that high, it's a singular word. There's only one road to glory, and it leads upward, and it speaks of that single path in which God meets his people with blessings. It's the only way that God, that people are going to be blessed, is on this highway that goes up. All right, in the 84th Psalm, we have another thought on the highway. I get so stirred with this, and my voice, it just fills me. My voice doesn't let me, I need to talk softer. Well, 84:5. Blessed is the man, hear this blessing again, see, that comes from that pool. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, right, the precious, in whose heart are the ways of them. And the margin says, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Now this is speaking to us of the spiritual, of the heavenlies. This is for us. Our heart is on the highway to our heavenly Zion, the city of Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. So there's a wonderful truths all through the Word on these scriptures here. So we see here that, and we're not through with this, but blessings come down through the conduit, and that's Jesus Christ. And this highway then leads up to the source of blessing. The conduit, Jesus Christ came down, didn't he, to lift us up and to take us back upon that highway. And that's the full thought here. He's the source of the blessing. He's the only one that will bless us. Praise the Lord. I would like to read a couple more scriptures along with this. Let's go to Proverbs 16:17. There's some wonderful things here. 16:17 of Proverbs. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. This is the highway of the upright. This is the new man. We depart. We don't even get around it. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. And then let's go over to Isaiah 35 again, and the 8th verse. And this is wonderful. Yes, this is a precious verse. Isaiah 35, these are millennial blessings that God is going to bestow upon the nation Israel. We can have these now. Our blessings are heavenly. Theirs are earthly, but ours are heavenly blessings. All right, 35:8, and an highway shall be there, and a way, notice it's singular again, both of those, and it shall be called the way of holiness. And who alone can take us on that way of holiness but Christ himself? The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. And we go on and read that. It's going to be a wonderful time for this nation Israel after they go through the time of suffering that's ahead of them. All right, let's talk about the Fuller's Field for a minute. It's the highway of the Fuller's Field. Now, I'll give you some of us know what a fuller is, but I'm going to give you the meaning of it. He's a washer of garments, one who cleanses soiled garments and fulls new ones. And that's right. I said it right. He full. That's why it's called the fuller. He fulls new ones. A washer of garments, one who cleanses soiled garments and fulls new ones. Now, don't ask me what fulls means. The only thing I know it would mean is he cleanses or makes new ones. I don't know. I didn't even think to look up the word. It also means to wash garments by treading on them under water. Now, isn't that wonderful? What's the water? The Word. These dirty garments, we put them under the Word, under the inspection of the Word. And he's the one who treads on them. Isn't that wonderful? And he underwater, he washes them. And it differs from to wash the body. These are the garments we're talking about. It's not the body. The garments figure the habits of the old creation. They're closely related to the feet, things that get defiled, the garments. If there's any defilement, restoration and communion with the Lord are cut off until that defilement is taken care of. In John 13 and the 8th verse, that's why when you get off work, I'm sure, I hope you do this. It's a good habit to get into, because we're defiled by the things out in the world, aren't we? And when you get home, what do? You wash yourself. This is where we wash ourselves. Take a little bit and sit down and read this, and it'll wash all those dirty, that defilement that you've contacted out in the world. 13:8, Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast